Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard. We're raised in Dallas, and Walker is 3 feet away. And joining us in studio now, having tag team with Fred Jackson, is Steve Jordahl from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Everybody say good morning to Steve.
Good morning.
I feel a little, abandoned. If no
well, you said good morning with great enthusiasm and vigor.
It's a great
Ray,
day.
Ray, I barely heard Ray. Walker, I don't even think
I was delayed. You had to force me to say it.
Yeah. I was looking, Steve, to see if you're wearing another leather tie today.
No leather tie, no.
That was so cool.
It was. Today he's going cloth, right?
Yep.
Going cloth tie.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm not judging you on this fashion statement.
You can judge me all you want.
Well, I mean, I just want you to get the, I don't really care as long as you got clothes on.
Yeah.
Which is essential here on this show because we live stream.
That's right.
The dress code
that's right.
We
is
require
right there,
clothes.
But you got the checkered tie. No, you got the checkered shirt, but you got the sort of the cross checkered.
Yeah,
tie going on.
This is the only tie I have that goes with this shirt. And
what I'm saying is there's some people, if you're going to have a plaided sort of tie, you've got to have a
plain
shirt. Right. That's how things have always been in America.
Yep. I'm a fashion breaker.
Steve
doesn't
play by the rules.
Okay. That's right.
That's right.
I like it.
Fie on the rules. Fee-fi.
I like it.
Steve's sort of got an Outback steakhouse approach to no rules.
No rules.
No rules. That's
right.
If it feels good, put it on. And go.
Right? You wear a plaid and check it the same time?
Yeah, in the old days, you wouldn't do that, right?
No.
You just didn't. But now, I mean, who knows what the rules are anymore?
Right.
If it looks good and your wife doesn't say no, then it's okay.
This shirt would probably be banned on TV because of the way that the lines are too close and it tends to play games with the camera. But no.
Well, I don't think the Bible says anything about it.
Sure. It's along with the shellfish and everything. Maybe
right.
No tie and check.
No check, and you can't wear a plaited tie.
Right,
with a
don't wear
shirt.
Yeah, right.
It's in there someplace in the Book of First Opinions.
pardon me. All right, go ahead, Steve. And back to the news.
President Trump threw Jeff Sessions under the bus today,
or yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, in an interview
news,
in
the
New York Times,
night.
The news broke last night. This is the latest from our Russian files. In an interview with Times reporters in the Oval Office, President Trump said he kind of has buyer's remorse over picking Jeff Sessions. Listen to this.
Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself, which frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? If he would have recused himself before the job, I would have said, thanks, Jeff, but I can't, I'm not going to take you. It's extremely unfair, and that's a mild word, to the president. So he recuses himself.
Two breaking news things from this. The president is referring to himself in the third person. second of all, Sessions has replied, has answered this, saying that he's going to stay on as long as it's appropriate, which is kind of an open-ended thing. But
yeah.
He's
well,
not
what,
stepping
what
down.
What's going on here is, quite frankly, President Trump has a point.
Yep.
To be honest with you, that wasn't very tactful right there, but that's his standard New York brashness, letting it fly. I'm shocked that he gave an interview to the New York Times, quite frankly, because he's been at war with them for a while. But what he's talking about there is Attorney General Sessions, formerly Jeff Sessions, formerly Senator Sessions from Alabama. He took the job as Attorney General and then he recused himself from the Russia investigation because I guess Ray had failed to mention something on one of the
right meeting the Russian ambassador a couple times and things like that.
And what but the practical implications here is the reason the president's upset about that is that now you got this independent investigator, counsel, whatever it is, that what was the former guy, Comey, James Comey, the former FBI director, wanted to see happen. So he, this is like a movie. Yeah. So James Comey takes some notes that he took at a meeting with Trump. I know I'm digressing, but this is important and it's funny. Jeff Sessions takes some notes over to his neighbor's house. No, not to his neighbor's house. To
a doctor friend of his.
To a doctor buddy. Friend of his and says, hey, you need to leak this to the media so that it makes Trump look bad and we get a special counsel. But don't tell anybody I did this, okay? Because I'm going on vacation with my family. And so anyway, this was sounds too crazy. But anyway, the point is that the president, referred to him there in third person, Donald Trump, is upset, and I think rightfully so, although I wouldn't have said it like he did, and I wouldn't have, quote, thrown Jeff Sessions under the bus on this one. Sessions may regret having recused himself. He did that within a matter of a couple of days.
And he went further, Trump, President
Who did?
Trump did.
Than that? Further
yeah.
than that?
He said that he is frustrated with the Russia investigation, and he's warning that...
But not against Jeff Sessions further.
No.
Okay.
This is more on from this New York... It's about the Russia investigation, though. He said that there's a red line that Mueller, the special counsel, cannot cross, which is going beyond the Russia investigation into his finances in general.
Yeah.
He says that's not appropriate.
There's news today that he's doing just that.
That who's doing just what?
Mueller... Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Right.
Mueller is now going into President Trump's former business practice at the Trump Organization and going to start delving into that. That's from Bloomberg today.
Yeah. It's at the discretion of the investigator where the investigation goes, and it doesn't have to stay with Russia. But Trump says, forget this. This is Russia. You know, this guy owns a massive financial empire. Or he did, and it's in trust right now. He's not actively managing it, but he's been under audit for years.
Forever. Yeah.
And it's complicated. It takes forever. And I'm sure that somewhere in there you can find something that was filed incorrectly or whatever. And the bottom line is President Trump and the Republicans don't trust the Democrats that are doing that. They're actually after some... collusion, or they're actually honest in this investigation. They feel like they're going after just trying to find anything they can, throwing dirt against a wall to see if they can find something against President Trump. Trump is saying,
if I'm the president now, I'm going to either fire Mueller, which would be more controversial than firing Comey.
But he could do it.
He could do that.
He's
on the step.
Or he needs to bring in Rosenstein and say, he's the deputy attorney general who's overseeing Mueller.
And the one who recommended that Comey be fired,
right,
by the way.
He needs to say, Deputy AG, put a timeline on Mueller. Tell him in 6 months, wrap this thing up. Either there's charges or there's not.
Right.
Period.
We're
not going to let this drag on for four years.
I do too, because the part of my suspicion of the Democrat plan is to keep this whole confusing thing going through 2018 so they can link it to the elections.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this. When the president said that yesterday, my private finances are off limits, doesn't that actually have the opposite effect of almost guaranteeing, Walker, that what you were saying, if a man says, no, you can't look in this area, what's the person going to do? They're going to go there.
Right.
So what are we heading for? A crisis where he's going? Would he dismiss both AG Sessions and Mueller at the same time? Could he? I mean, I know he could do that.
Would he
do that?
Well, that would be very controversial. I think Sessions is a good attorney general. I think he's right on 95% of the things. I think he was wrong on. I think he got nervous, got a little shaky on the Russia thing, on the Senate when the Democrats were attacking him after he was AG and when he recused himself. I think he got a little shaky, moved too fast, and he made a mistake. But I think Rosenstein is good, who's the deputy attorney general. But if Mueller starts getting into this stuff that has nothing to do with Russia, or at least appears to have nothing to do with Russia, then I think either President Trump has to fire him or he needs to direct the attorney general to
just
put a timeline on this.
A final thought on this. You're familiar, Ray, with the concept of an echo chamber?
Yes.
I think it's instructive to kind of go back and remember how this whole thing started when the media and everybody kind of started thinking about trying to find something to get this upstart president in trouble. And from the beginning, this whole Russia thing has been a collusion, if you want to use that term, between the media and the Democrat investigation. Mm-hmm. They have found nothing. There was really no evidence to go there in the first place.
Right.
But something started it off, some inane accusation. I think it was the file that was sent over by that British agent that was just completely discredited. Mm-hmm. And once they started the investigation, that was all they needed to get going. And it's this echo chamber where the Democrats investigating something will say something and media will pick it up and they'll expand it and they talk back and forth and make this whole thing explode. But there really has never... And I say this trying to be as impartial as I can. I can't find anything that Trump has done wrong in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Granted all that, Steve, then why did the president go off on Sessions yesterday the way he did? I mean, you guys have made the point. You know, he had his reasons for dissatisfaction. Sessions shouldn't have recused himself. A, why did he bring it up yesterday? And B, was that a public shot across the bow to say, I want to fire you, but I don't know how or I'm not ready to? I mean, wouldn't you like to be in the room for the next private meeting between the president and Jeff Sessions?
Yeah.
Mr. President, about what you said. I mean, what's his motive? What's the game plan here?
He was asked a question. I'm sure that it started because he was asked a question about it, and he answered the question rather honestly, I think. He is frustrated that Sessions recused himself. I don't think Sessions would have necessarily just quashed an investigation, but at least it would have been under control so that it wouldn't have started, metastasizing. We were talking about cancer this morning. Metastasizing to all of these other things that don't have anything to do with Russia, but they're just trying to see what they can get on Trump. So, you know, a guy that has millions, maybe billions of dollars in an investment, if you're going to start to look at every dollar, what are the chances you're going to find something wasn't exactly
President
done
Trump,
right?
If you even give the slightest hint that you are turning your back on him or treating him unjustly,
loyalty is very important to
him. He is going to remember that probably the rest of his life, and I think I think this Jeff Sessions situation highly upset him. He has not forgotten it, and he's not afraid to tell people how he was upset about it.
And we're talking about the Attorney General Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who was the first senator I remember.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Standing with Donald Trump when he was a candidate, long before he was elected president, Jeff Sessions got on board with President, then candidate Trump early on. Now, I think, two things. One is this is just how President Trump operates. You know, he doesn't do good at hiding his emotions. So I mentioned the expression, he lets it fly, which is untypical of presidents past. I can't remember any president that we've had some presidents that, had quips or President Nixon, he lashed out a few times in candor, I guess you could say, about he was feeling. But President Trump, he wears his feelings on his sleeve.
He pretty much is broken
But now he could fire Jeff Sessions. He called him Jeff. They're evidently very close on a first name basis. But what he's saying is, he's just telling you how he feels. Had he known that Sessions was going to recuse himself from the Russian investigation, therefore having no control over the investigation or no input, really.
Right.
Then he's right. He would have said, no, I'll take somebody else who is clean here, or at least is not going to have to recuse himself from this situation.
Yeah.
But, another factor here, Walker, that we haven't talked much about is President Trump is getting very frustrated, and you can't blame him on the fact that the staffing for his administration is, here we are 6 months into it, and he doesn't have near the number of people that he's appointed, having been confirmed, that other presidents in the past have had in places. So that he hadn't been able to even get his team on board yet.
Yeah, this is the slowest confirmation hearing the slowest confirmation process in American history, going back to George Washington. This is the slowest confirmation process in American history. And what you have is, not only do you not have your people in place, you have Obama, President Obama's people, his employees for the federal government, still working under the Trump administration. And you wonder why there's tit for tat and leaks and things going on, kind of backstabbing situation things. That's because President Obama's employees are still working for the most part.
Part of that has to do with the fact that the Democrats are slow walking everything. But I think another part, I saw a graph, he has also nominated a fewer people than President Obama at this point. He didn't come into Washington knowing everybody.
That's right.
This has got to start from zero with this guy as far as who's good at the political stuff and who he can trust. And you know, as you said, Walker, he really has a strong position on loyalty. He really values loyalty. So he needs to know these people before he appoints them.
I've got the best idea out there if President Trump wants to listen to
I think
me.
He is listening.
Well, we do broadcast into the D.C. area.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Yes.
That's right.
If you want to get the Trump train back on the tracks, and it maybe it's on the tracks, if you want to stoke the engine,
fire,
to get the engine going faster. My analogy working so far.
We're on a railroad track. We want to go faster.
A locomotive.
Put a little coal in the burner.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Okay, if you want to do what I just said, then what you need to do is call Newt Gingrich.
That's it.
You need to call Newt Gingrich and say, Newt, I need you. You need to come over here to the White House, be my chief of staff. You'll have all the authority. You and I will meet three times a day, whatever it takes. But you get this thing going. You know how Washington works. And Newt Gingrich is one of the smartest guys out there. You listen to him. He knows what's going on. He knows how Washington works. He knows how to get things done.
That was kind of supposed to be Mike Pence's role.
Well, Pence has done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But he's lower profile. I'm just talking about this gentleman here, Newt Gingrich, has been Speaker of the House in a very historic way. He's a can-do person. He's a thinker. And
who's the current chief of staff?
Reince Priebus.
Okay. Yeah. See, I had to ask. So,
well, he may be a fine guy. I'm just telling
I'm sure
you.
Sure, he is.
This is my opinion. You need to get. You want to get this.
Call train? Newt, Mr. President.
Call Newt and get him in there and get going. That's what I say. All right, you're listening to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we want to welcome to our microphone Eric Horner. Eric is founder of Eric Horner Ministries. Out of the bluegrass state of Kentucky. He's down visiting with us here in Mississippi today to talk about a special project that he's been working on a few years now, 7 years, in fact, having to do with honoring our military. Eric, good morning to you.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Or maybe you, Eric. If not Newt, might not call you.
Well, I'll do what I can.
You can go up there and get some things done in D.C. Eric Horner is with us now. How did you come up with the name Eric Horner Ministries?
Well, that was a toughie. You know, I scratched my head a lot before we came up with that.
Did there a lot of prayer went into that one?
Yeah, a lot of.
And counseling and such?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you are a gospel singer. Mm-hmm. You also sing, I say gospel singer, but you also have a hint of country music in your, in other words, you sing about not only the Lord, you sing about values and morals and
how, family, yeah.
And family and those kinds of things in addition to hymns and gospel music. But now you've been doing something, your ministry has, for 7 years now that we've been promoting on American Family Radio. Tell our listeners what that is.
Well, it's called Operation Tankful of Love. And we live closer to the Nashville area. Of course, Paducah, Kentucky.
Live in the Nashville area, but Paducah's home.
It's my hometown.
Yeah.
And we've probably ministered in 80 churches in that area through our 15 years of ministry. And we always have to drive right by Fort Campbell when we're headed up there. And there's a truck stop down the street from Fort Campbell where we always stop and fuel up. It's just our normal stop. And about 7 years ago, a little longer than that, I stepped off the bus there. And as I looked across the parking lot, there were 7 or 8 soldiers out there getting their gas. And I just had this little thought go through my weak little mind that I just thought, you know, I wish I had the means to go put my card in every one of their pumps and just say, it's on me today, soldier. Thank you for serving. Mm-hmm. And the Lord planted a seed with me right then and there. And by that night, I knew what to call it. It was Operation Tankful of Love. And so I talked to my wife about it. I said, what do you think? She said, well, yeah, let's let's give it a whirl, you know. And so I started writing letters to churches where we'd ministered to say, hey, here's an ideal I have. Who wants to take part? Well, we began to hear from church, you know, to church body, and some money came in. The first year we raised $8,800, and we were excited about that. And so
what did you do with the money?
Well, we put word out in the Fort Campbell community that we're going to give away as much free gas as we can. And we literally shut the entire town down. You couldn't go.
What do you mean? Was it one gas station you went
yes,
to?
Yes, it was a truck stop, and they gave us 12 pumps, I think. Okay. And we brought volunteers from churches. You know, in the letter I said, hey, we're going to need volunteers.
Did they have to show up in uniform? Or?
Well, they either show up, if they're not in uniform, they have to show us an ID. Mm-hmm. And if it's a deployed soldier, we will serve their spouse and you know, take care of everybody that we can. We also serve Gold Star wives and
so they drive up and give you their ID.
Yep.
Then you pay the $30, $40 whatever to fill their car up.
Well, what we
do. So you ran out of money.
Yeah. The first year we did it, we were doing $50 for a fill up. We didn't know that there's a federal law that says there's a gift law. It's $20 is what you're allowed to give them. We didn't know that.
What? And why is that?
Well, it's I don't know. It's for politicians.
That ain't Obamacare?
And government servants.
It is not an Obamacare.
No, it's not.
It need to be repealed and replaced, Derek.
Yeah, amen. I'm with you. If it's up to me.
So it's $20 limit. Seriously?
Yeah, and we didn't know about that. And so the first couple of years, we were doing $50 a soldier a fill-up. Well, it took us all of 2 hours to go through $8,800. I mean, we gave it away fast. Mm-hmm. But the problem was we shut the town down. You couldn't go anywhere. Emergency vehicles couldn't. I mean, soldiers were backed up for miles, interstate. It was terrible. And I didn't know. The first year, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know to expect that.
Right.
And so the next year, I called the police. I said, hey, I'm going to need some help. We're going to do this again. Well, nobody – I called – two or three times, nobody told the chief. So it happened again. Well, the mayor called me on the phone, and he was not happy.
Oh, yes.
And he almost shut us down the second year. But I said, please. I said, look, we've got all these volunteers, and we need to give this away. I said, let me have one station, just one. You know, that year we spread out to three. And so anyway, make a long story short, it's gone on year after year after year.
Seven years now.
This year.
How much money are you up to now?
This year we're going
to
cross $250,000.
Wow.
Quarter of a million.
Total.
Total.
Okay.
We try to shoot for $50,000 a year.
All right,
now
we're down to 1 minute. Okay. So tell our listeners what they need to know for this year.
If you want to donate or get more information, you can learn more by going to AFR.net. You can go to tankfulloflove.com, which will also take you to AFR.net. Or you can call us toll free, 877-968-3742. The number again is 877-968-3742. We're ready to take your donation or tell you how you can be involved.
If they call that number you just gave them, that calls your office?
It does. It does. My wife is here, and she's got the phone with her. So.
Okay. So that calls you, and you'll take somebody says, I want to contribute $20.
Yep.
Or whatever.
We do it by credit card over the phone or give you our mailing address, either way.
And how much of that goes to pay for your vacation in Hawaii?
Absolutely not a penny. 100% goes back to the soldiers.
Okay.
And we don't take any fees out of nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Okay. 100% of any donation goes to pay for, okay.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Well, we've been working with you for 7 years on that to promote
and
that.
We're grateful. Thank you.
And we're glad to help out. We want to honor our military and our soldiers. Mm-hmm. This would be great if it could be done in other places. Take your idea and expand
absolutely.
It. I know
that's
you can
go
all over the country and do it, but
that's what we want. It's a lot of work, but if people will do it one time and learn how to do it, then it's...
So what's the website and phone number to reach you about this now?
Go to AFR.net, or the phone number is 877-968-3742.
So your wife will answer the phone?
She will.
What's your name?
Her name is Sweet Pea.
Sweet.
She answers to Sweet Pea.
You just said that on the radio.
I did.
About, you know, a couple million people.
I don't think she wants dudes calling her Sweet Pea.
All my pastor friends, they know her as Sweet Pea.
Okay, Sweet Pea. All right. So call Sweet Pea and take a gift there to help Eric out. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Eric Horner, H-O-R-N-E-R, joining us. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.